30th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And also visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Final Four is here, March Madness, Kansas versus Villanova, and Duke versus UNC, classic rivalry here going on, and we're going to preview it. And tonight, our guest is Nicholas Holt-Dell and Jeff Chiznak. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me once again.
And once again, I want to remind everyone, Nick Holt-Dell is a broadcasting major at Arizona State University. College basketball is his specialty. He does also do NASCAR, I believe, but he's going to preview these next upcoming games this weekend, March Madness.
It's the alma mater of the Gronkowski, isn't it? One or more of them? Didn't Robert go there? Somebody fact-check me.
Did Rob Gronkowski go to ASU?
I don't know about that, but we have Matt Barry within our long list of famous alums of the Cronkite School. Al Michaels went here. So many fantastic names throughout the journalism industry, not just sports, but also in news as well.
Well, there you have it, Jeff.
Nice.
I do listen to his podcast, Matt Barry, and very, very talented and probably worth a lot of money with all those winnings he's had. All right. Before we get into the preview, Jeff, I think I met him once.
Where? I think I met him once. See, like the NFL
fantasy
football guy.
He's on ESPN. Which I think his podcasts are the best.
I was at the, I know we're digressing, but I was at the fantasy football convention in Dallas a few years ago with my son.
Sure. I'm sure he's there.
And I was having my picture taken with somebody. I'll have to find the picture. And then he got in the picture. I'm like, who the hell are you? Why are you in my picture? And he goes, you don't know who I am? I'm from Canada. Who are you? I will find that picture and I will send it over to you. But yes, I kind of offended him because I didn't know who he was.
It happens.
But his ugly face is, but he's in my picture. So. But,
absolutely. Yeah. Anyways, March Madness is coming to a conclusion. I want to hear you guys' opinion over these past couple of weeks, actually 2 weeks. Nick, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts so far before we head into our preview?
Well, this tournament has just been one crazy ride with some of the upsets we've seen, the stories of teams like St. Peter's getting as far as they did, but ultimately, I think it's the exact Final Four that the NCAA and CBS and Turner wanted to have four blue blood programs going to New Orleans this weekend and have Duke and North Carolina facing off in an NCAA tournament game. I think this is exactly what all parties would have wanted as far as the viability of this Final Four from an interest standpoint and TV ratings, especially that Duke-North Carolina game is going to be through the roof.
Jeff Chiznak, college basketball fanatic. What are your thoughts over this March Madness this year? Did it surprise you? Do you like it?
I think they took a playbook, took a page out of Big Brother's playbook. Expect the unexpected. I don't think, and I'm not even talking about St. Peter's, and congratulations to them. We can't undersell what they did. Now also got a big, huge new, they got some money for the next 6 years, 100 and whatever grand, like half their basketball budget. Now, can someone fact check me? Because I read it online, so I don't know if it was fact or fiction. I heard that, I know this has nothing to do with the Final Four games, but it's Elite Eight, so it counts. I heard that they couldn't afford to send their cheerleaders to the very first game. And so the Peacock Network picked up the tab to get the cheerleaders there. And then, again, I saw a TikTok, so I don't know if it's true or not. But if somebody can fact check me on that, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Can you confirm that?
Yeah, the Peacock streaming service has been really all over.
Because they are the Peacock.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So is there some truth into whatever I, again, it's TikTok and I make TikToks and most of it's not true. I mean, it's all true. So is there truth to that? I didn't fact check it. I just went, huh, and then I scrolled on.
yeah, there absolutely is.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
I mean.
Good for them. Just,
yeah, I mean, they've really been all over that. And they did a lot of stuff on the St. Peter's campus as well.
Oh, good. With
different signage and stuff. So yeah, everything that they, I mean, that was probably as far as like other companies benefiting from other teams advancing as far. I mean, Peacock has absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, that's good. And you know what, to give the, and I think they gave the students a free month or free 6 months or a free X period of time. Again, it doesn't cost them anything. What doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really cost them sort of bandwidth. It costs them some technology, but it's not like they're out of pocket much money, right? So Amazon Web Service fees where they store all their data and it gives them more data to crunch and stuff. So yeah, good for them. But yeah, no, I think they took a playbook. Everyone took a playbook out of just when you thought, well, this team is good. And then another team, you know, UNC was 8. Did you think they were going to get to the Final Four? Yes, you can probably, you know, most people probably had Duke in their Final Four or at least wherever. And most people had, whatever, Villanova and Kansas and whatnot. But right. I believed it. I did double check, you know, glance around a little bit. Can't believe this is the first time they've ever met in the tournament. I know we're going to talk about them second, Duke and UNC, but
yeah. Well, which will segue to the segment number 2, Villanova versus number 1, Kansas. Kansas, the only number 1 team that made it to this round of March Madness. Great run. They beat Texas Southern, Creighton, Providence, and Miami. Kansas did that. Villanova. Yeah, Kansas did do that. Sorry about that. Villanova, also number 2, made it to this. Nick, I want to start with you. What are your thoughts over this matchup?
Well, I think the biggest thing to really look for is what Kansas has been able to do. Because there's a guy actually transferred there from Arizona State, Remy Martin. And for a while, he was really injured and didn't get too much time. But what he has done in this March is he has really exploded for this team. And it's given Kansas a viable option off the bench. And that is so valuable, not just to this Kansas team getting to New Orleans, but in this particular matchup in New Orleans as well. Villanova is not a deep team. And the fact that they ended up losing Justin Moore with a torn Achilles, they really only have 5 guys now that they really rely on for playing time. They're going to have to rely on someone else who hasn't really had too much playing time to step in, which I think it's ultimately going to hurt Villanova in that they don't have that depth. And just imagine now you have a Villanova team who normally runs 5-6 guys, probably going to be forced to 5 against a Kansas team who, when they have so many good options off the bench, Martin and also Mitch Lightfoot to mention there as well. Kansas is a little bit of a faster tempo team. It could be a long night for Villanova if they are not able to control that tempo. If Kansas controls the tempo, I really would imagine that Kansas would be able to take this game.
Kansas has a reliable guard, All-American Ochai Agbaji, and a big man, McCormick. Favorites to win this matchup. Jeff, what are your thoughts? Does Villanova have a shot, or you're going to go with Kansas?
You know what? I'm going Kansas, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be closer. I think we, this tournament, I think we've proven that, you know, expect the unexpected. So I think Villanova actually has a shot at winning. I think somebody is going to step up, or maybe 2 people will step up and just, you know, and just shock them. I'm still picking Kansas, but I would not be surprised. Didn't I say that I wouldn't be surprised if Houston won, but didn't I pick whoever they beat? But then I say, don't count them out. I think this year we can't assume anything anymore. Other than Duke winning, I don't think we can assume that Kansas is going to be. Like, look at the UNC game. It by what, halftime, it was whatever. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be close. I think it will. I think Kansas will ultimately pull away because of the bench depth. But I think somebody's going to step up that we aren't expecting. A name we don't know that we will be talking about on Sunday, and everyone's going to be Googling this kid to see who the hell he is.
And to add on to that point too, if Villanova is able to stay close in this game, this is a historically elite free throw shooting team, shooting 83%. Mm-hmm. That's a number we've never seen in college basketball for a single season, ever. Mm-hmm. And so Villanova from the line can be incredibly deadly. And if Villanova just finds a way, hang around, mm-hmm. maybe have a lead in the final minute or so, that mm-hmm. might be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something that I was going to say. I ask you guys, is the free throw factor, could it come to into play, you think, Jeff? Or you think, hey, if
Nicholas
Kansas
said,
if
they can keep it close, I think that it will come down to free throws. I think I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Like Nicholas said, they got to control the tempo. They can't let the game get away from them early. If they get down early, it may be a long night. I don't know if they can crawl themselves back, but you know what? They made it this far, so
anything could happen.
It's on CBS. Expect the unexpected. They're pulling they're pulling it from their other famous franchise, Big Brother. Expect the unexpected.
These games are on TBS this year, but it's still kind of the same way. I mean, there is a CBS broadcast crew there, so there's some partial truth to that.
I'm from Canada, so it's always on TSN up here. So I don't, you know, when, you know, there's what's the other one? I don't even know what that is, but I put on TSN and there's the games. So I'm happy. So, so I just assumed they'd be on the main network, but I guess I assumed wrong.
Nick, what was the best game Kansas played this far in this tournament?
If there's a best game, and really by best game, probably more of a best half, it would have to be that second half against Miami. I mean, that Miami team they really kept up with Kansas, and it was a struggle for the Jayhawks. And then Miami really just stormed away from Miami. It was particularly Miami center fouled out. That was really a point where it's just like, yep, that's it. It's pretty much done. And Kansas, outside of the Texas Southern game, the games against Creighton and Providence, there were times where they absolutely struggled. But that second half of the Miami game really showed kind of the danger that Kansas presents if you let them go on offense. They have all kinds of weapons, whether it's Marvin, like I've said, Ojai Ajabi, David McCormack as well. Like, all these different weapons can become incredibly dangerous and just make things – I mean, if opponents aren't careful against this Kansas team, it could very well be a long night.
Yeah, and as Jeff mentioned, Houston kept it close with Villanova. It could have been them. Mm-hmm. But, hey, maybe Villanova is motivated. Could have gotten the free throws. We'll go into scores at the end of the show. So we'll see if these two guys change their mind, how close it will be. It'll probably be close. When you're at this stage of the tournament, things don't get easy. They get a little bit difficult. All right, let's go to probably the most high-rated game, according to Jeff and Nick. Number 2, Duke versus number 8, North Carolina, state rival. Goes way back in the day. Duke, they beat St. Peter's, Coach K's last dance. Some people thought Duke will make it this far. Some people didn't think they were going to be that strong. UNC beat Duke in the ACC.
They did.
ACC.
In Duke's house.
Game, yes.
It was Coach K's final home game.
Championship, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
star-studded last home game. Star, they had everybody out there.
So we'll stick with Jeff. Will this be the revenge for Duke? Will they have it this time around?
They want to win it for Mike.
A lot of motivation, I know.
He's got to go out on top. That's it. Mike drop moment. No offense. He's just got to, you know, put the cherry on top. I know he's doing the political career. He's saying he wants these guys to get there and he loves his players. He's doing it for them, but they want him to go out on top.
Yeah.
He's got every tournament record. Right. Wins and games and this, that, and the other. He's got them all. Right. So now I found it hard to believe. And I had to think back. This is the first time these two teams ever met in the tournament.
Really?
On that. Yeah. It is first time these two teams have ever met in the tournament.
A lot of big stakes here.
Yeah, and, there's a lot of huge takes for both of these teams. But I would really agree with that. And really, I think the match I'm looking forward to the most is inside how guys like Paolo Banchero and really just all of the key forwards of this Duke team between Banchero, Mark Williams at center. He's been phenomenal in this tournament. How are they all going to deal with North Carolina inside and particularly Armando Bacot? Bacot has been phenomenal in this NCAA tournament. And I really believe that how Duke deals with him is going to be a key part of this. And if they key on him too much, North Carolina has the guys outside to make this happen too, between Caleb Love and Brady Manick, two of them in particular. So it's not like North Carolina, it's not just like this battle is focused only inside. Duke has all the forwards, and center Mark Williams has been phenomenal in this tournament. But North Carolina, they can kill you from outside as well. And I think that's one of the things I look forward to seeing in this matchup. I do think this is going to be very highly contested. I'd be shocked if this game did not come down to the final 30 seconds.
Wow. I would be surprised if it went into overtime.
Yeah.
I'm half expecting it to go to overtime.
More likely than the other matchup.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Interesting. Nick, UNC, I mean, you were saying they have to shoot a lot, obviously, but they have the experience. Like, they beat Duke already. They have some confidence in them. Does this matter?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I do think there has been plenty of that has happened for this team to really get them to that point. But I really think the big thing for North Carolina is that it has almost been sort of a different guy in almost every game in this tournament. In the second round against Baylor, you had RJ Davis really doing his work, and he had Brady Manick before he got ejected. He was on 26 points, and that was midway through the second half. He was really doing phenomenal. In the Sweet 16 game against UCLA, it was Caleb Love, who was 6 of 13 from three. And he had 30 points overall. And then in the Elite Eight, while it wasn't the best shooting night for North Carolina from three, Brady Manick had 4 of 6 and 19 points. And Armando Bacot, not necessarily from outside, but he had 20 points and 14 rebounds. And that's been a very similar stat line to what he's been doing in this entire tournament. And so I really do believe that it's going to be a really tough matchup for Duke with Bacot inside. But if they focus in on him too much, whether it's Manick, whether it's Love, whether it's RJ Davis, There are some guys out there that can give North Carolina plenty of trouble. And Brady Manick can also rebound pretty darn well as well. He really is that overall player that can do it from outside. He can work it inside. He's been terrific.
Jeff, besides emotion, matchup between UNC and Duke, how do you see it? Who has the advantage? Who has the X factor?
I think Duke in coaching. I think Duke in the coaching. I think and I know we're going to talk scores later or predictions later, but I could see Duke being down at halftime, not by a bunch, single digits maybe, and then Mike, just like he did the other, you know, in one of the other rounds, just kind of righted the ship and off they go, and they just don't look back.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly what happened against Arkansas. This team kind of struggled to find their footing a little bit, but in the first half really got it going, and that was really about it. And yeah, Michigan State and Texas Tech, they also had to really find their footing against quality oppositions. I mean, the Coach K Izzo coaching matchup, seems like Duke found what they needed to get past that. And the game against Texas Tech, I mean, Texas Tech really gave Duke a phenomenal game there in the Sweet 16. It was only a 5-point game, and it was one that Texas Tech really had.
Mm-hmm. And then like Duke like called a timeout. And he just righted the ship, and then that was it. They just took off, right? Yeah. That was that game.
That was a motivational game.
They're all kind of merging
together. Launching pad.
Football's better. There's just one game a week. It's easier. But there's too many games. I can't keep them all. Too many teams. Too many games. I can't. Twice as many as I'm used to in the NFL. So hard to keep track of them all and who happened, what, where, when, why, how.
So, So, Nick, you were mentioning about Texas Tech. Was that the best game that you saw Duke play this tournament so far?
I think it was the Arkansas game. I think the way they were just able to take control of that game at the end of the first half and just keep it throughout, I think that was where I was really most impressed by was by the performance at the end of that first half, where they were able to carry it into the second half. I really believe that that was by far sort of the most impressive stuff I've seen from Duke. I mean, the first round against Cal State Fullerton, I mean, well, it's just Cal State Fullerton. You would expect a team like that to take care of business throughout the course of the entire game. And then it seemed like in every other game, like they had the doubtful moments. That Michigan State game at the end got very, very tight. And Texas Tech was giving Duke all kinds of a game throughout really the entire game, throughout like the first 38 and a half minutes or so. But what they did against Arkansas, taking control, leaving no doubt, that's where I was most impressed by.
Jeff, which game really impressed you the most with Duke?
That or the Texas Tech game. They were down early and then they just came back and they just put into another gear, it seemed. And there was no turning back.
I would like to stick with Jeff. Coach K, you know, obviously he'll be retiring after this tournament. Does he need that last championship to close it out on a high note? Or he doesn't need to. He's won a lot already. Whatever happens, it's okay.
Yes, correct. He doesn't need it. No. Okay. It's not like some other guys who've never had one and this was their last chance to get. He's got a bunch. He's a Hall of Famer. He led the Olympic team. He's done it all. He's won everything. He's got the records. Does he need to? No. Not if he loses on Saturday night, is anyone gonna? No. No one's going to be, you know, but does he want to? Should he? Yes.
I think that for that, like what people are going to remember. I do think, like, while Coach K has done pretty much everything and he has submitted himself as one of the best coaches in college basketball history, I really do think that at least for that Duke program, in the short term, they got to win on Saturday at the bare minimum. Because you do not want Coach K's final exit from college basketball to be in the national semifinal against your arch rival. North Carolina will have that on Duke forever. And so, I mean, at the bare minimum for Duke, the program, more so than Coach K, you got to win on Saturday. Anything else that comes after that, it's just the icing on the cake. But to beat your rival in the national semifinal and the first time you've played your arch rival in the NCAA tournament, I think that's critical for that Duke program.
Duke, without Coach K, how would it look like, Nick, next year and the following years? Do you think it'll be as strong or it's going to take some time?
I think it might be very similar to what we're seeing right now with North Carolina, I mean, without Coach Roy Williams. Now, for North Carolina in the regular season, there was a huge struggle. But the way North Carolina was able to really rally around, get things together, what Coach Hubert Davis has done has been phenomenal over the last month and a half or so. And I do believe that we may be seeing something similar with Duke. I think that they'll be able to still recruit the guys that they want to get. And if they're going to do that, I still think we'll see some very similar things.
Jeff?
The year or so, because we see it in other sports where the coach leaves, but the infrastructure is there. And the next guy that comes in, wins, but not necessarily because of him, but because the infrastructure is there. To Nicholas's recruiting point, what's going to happen in a year or two? When the seniors leave, some of the guys who've been there under Coach K now start to, if you're a five-star recruiter, even a four-star, give the chance to go to Duke and play for Mike Krzyzewski, you're going to do that. But if he's not there and you've got, no offense to his replacement, because he's been there forever too. But,
John Shire.
Yeah. But it's not the same thing. So, there may be some top recruits that Duke may have gotten that now may go somewhere else to a different program because of the coach. So we'll have to see in the next year or two, they probably will be okay. But what happens after that? Is there a fall off? Yeah. Is there a fall off because of the recruiting? Now they still have a legacy. They're still Duke, right? Just like they're still Kansas, Villanova. They're still good teams. They still have good alumni. They got good this. They got good that. So, yes, they will still get. But I think we'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see how, to Nicholas's point about how the recruiting goes.
is massive.
You know, next couple of years, right?
And how much influence Coach K had, you know, in that, you know. Yeah,
and if I could add one more point, too. Mm-hmm. Look out, and you never know where this transfer portal could take Duke as well. They may get one or two guys in that portal. We actually did hit a pretty big milestone in the portal today. Over 1,000 players now in the portal this year.
That's massive.
And it's becoming an annual thing too.
College football's trends goes into college basketball. So anyways,
And of course college players now, and again, you guys know this way better than me being the dumb Canadian, but now, you know, they can sell their own likeness, right? They can get their own sponsorship deals.
NIH.
So, I mean, you know, NIL. you might want to go to a bigger team or a different team or a more name brand team.
Maybe. That does bring influence to that. You're right.
Right. So if Duke doesn't have Coach K, and then, you know, the sponsor dollars may not be there. Whereas, you know, somebody might say, well, if you're on Kansas and you're in the Final Four, you're in Elite Eight, you know, so that I know, I'm not saying it does. I don't have enough information about that. I'm Canadian. You guys know this better than me. Nicholas, you probably are knee deep in this more than I am. But what do you think of that? Do you think down the road that will affect not just Duke, but all teams in terms of recruiting?
I think we're starting to see it a little bit. And we're also starting to see the effects in NIL, like as it happens within the tournament. I mean, just look at what St. Peter's is able to do with, Doug, I forget his last name top of my head, but with Buffalo Wild Wings, like that would have never have happened in previous iterations of this tournament. And it just really goes to show the power of NIL and just how big it can be. And I do think there will be recruits that will be influenced by that.
Yeah. It's a work in progress. Is the game changer.
That may be a subject sports for a future show. Because that's going to affect college.
Love to have you guys back on.
That's going to affect college football. That's not even men's sport. That's affecting, right? I've seen, you know, female athletes getting signed too. Right. So
again, soccer and basketball has been influenced big time. All right. So before we head into predictions, we'd like to say a farewell to St. Peter's, another number 15 team that made it quite deep to Elite Eight.
The furthest any number 15 team has made.
Yeah. The furthest, Nick, what is the future for St. Peter's?
You could argue they made top five.
True. Maybe Nick could
argue that, because that technically was the last game.
True. No, right?
When that game started at right before tip off, there were five teams left.
Exactly.
You could make that, you know, you could make that argument. Maybe Nicholas can't. Maybe I'm.
I was going to ask Nick your thoughts on St. Peter's. Obviously, great, fantastic run, deep for number 15. What is the future for them? And perhaps we should choose a number 15 to surprise some teams next time.
Yeah, I mean, as much as fans will, college basketball gurus will recall some of the major Cinderella runs, like the 85 Philadelphia team that won the national championship, the 83 NC State team that did the same thing, the 27 VCU team that was the first to go from the first to the Final Four. I really do believe the St. Peter's team is the greatest Cinderella that this tournament has ever seen. Their story of a program that has so limited funding, even compared to the rest of their schools in their conference, and the limitation that program had. And for them to really go out and beat the teams that they beat, Kentucky is a historical college basketball program and a team that many people were taking to the Final Four. Murray State, fantastic mid-major in its own right. Purdue's another fantastic program. Like, the teams they beat were all really, really good teams. And the poise and confidence that they showed and just the basketball plays that they ran to beat these teams, it was unlike anything we've ever seen, even as the Cinderella is becoming more and more common within the NCAA tournament. I do believe that what this St. Peter's team did is definitely up there as far as the greatest Cinderellas of all time this tournament's concerned. I would say for sure the greatest within the 2000s, 100% hands down.
And top five, would you consider them this year?
I mean, I don't know about that, but with the order of the way things are, I mean, there's certainly a point to be made there.
So yeah, next year, I think I said to Santiago the last time you had me on, I think now that we've had 2 15 seeds go as far as, I think next year it's going to be which 15 seed goes the farthest.
I know.
Not,
we can't pick all of them.
You know.
Well, we could.
But right now we've had 2 years of 15 seeds advancing out. Right.
The second weekend. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's
any closing words on St. Peter's, Jeff, or you said enough.
It should be good for them. You know what? Five. Good for them. Good for them. I like seeing a small school break out. You know, they're getting some deals. The 6 year 100,000 they're getting a year. I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think more eyes are going to be on them, and I think that's going to help. It's going to help fundraising. It's going to help all the sports, not just men's basketball. I know the men's sports get all the attention, but I think if there are other, and I don't know enough about their program, but I assume that they have some very talented people in other, you know, whether it's track and field, whether it's volleyball, I think it's going to put some more eyes on the school, and it may bring them some more money.
Yeah,
I mean, and also free subscription from Peacock.
And a free subscription from Peacock.
So there you have it. We're into the prediction phase of the show. Let's first start with number 2 Villanova versus number 1 Kansas. Starts at 6:09 p.m. Eastern. We'll go with Nick first. Final prediction with score.
I think we're good. I think Kansas will win this game by around 7 points at the end. Free throws may shave into that a little bit, but I just think this Kansas is just a bit deeper than Villanova, and I do think that's going to matter at the end of the day.
Jeff Jiznak, Villanova versus number 1 Kansas.
I can't go against Kansas because I really want a Kansas Duke final. I think it's going to go into overtime. I think it's going to go into overtime. That's my prediction. That's my bold prediction. Oh, wait, that's a different show and a different network. that's my bold prediction. The game's going to go into overtime, and Kansas is going to win it by 2 or 3. So they're going to have the lead. It's going to come down. Last shot. It's not going to quite do it. And, that's it.
Number 2 Duke versus number 8 North Carolina. Rivals, Coach K wants is bad. Never faced each
Duke's
other.
Duke's going to win by 150. it's going to be a shutout. It's going to be the first shutout ever in basketball history. Has there ever been a shutout in basketball history?
That's the encyclopedia. It's right behind you. Well, go ahead, Jeff. Continue. I mean, you're on the roll right now.
No, I think they'll be down at half. Like I said, I think they'll be down at half, and then I think they're going to then just pull away. I think they're just going to pull away in the second half, and they're going to win probably for TV. I hope it's close because there'll be more eyeballs on it, but it's starting at what, 9 something Eastern?
8:49 Eastern.
Close enough.
On the dot, right, Nick?
enough, whatever. Close enough. So, you know, it's going to be late enough. So, but I don't think it's going to go overtime. I think Duke by at least 10.
Nick Hodel, Jeff says Duke by 10. How do you have this matchup?
I think it should be a little closer than that, but I do think Duke's going to find a way to win this game, probably within the same vicinity as what Kansas could win by against Villanova. I think we'll probably see a very similar thing happen if this game does not go down to the last possession, because I could easily see that happening in this game also.
There you have it. Both say Kansas versus Duke in the championship game.
Both games will come down to foul trouble. Who gets into foul trouble early, right? If somebody gets into foul trouble early or fouls out early, right? Then that could drastically, or God forbid, an injury or something, right? There could be a factor like that. You know, don't want to talk about things like that, but it could happen.
Or maybe a ref making a really bad call and ejecting someone.
How has been the officiating for this tournament so far?
Terrible, in a word. Terrible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's been lots of angry tweets. In all not in all the games, but in all the weekends, there's always been, you know, but you know what? They're human.
Yeah.
You know, they're human. They make mistakes. It's some of it's judgment. Some of it's whatnot, right? We don't do that job. It's, you know, if we were any good, we would be doing that job, but we all just sit here. You know, Santiago's heard me. I've said this on other shows. You know, we, you know, there's only so many people who can do that job, right? You know,
it's so, not always the owner.
It's not always the owner. There's only, you know, there's only
a lot of variables.
You know, how many referees are there? Like 150? I don't know. You know, how many, job. You know, how many referees are there? Right. You know,
yeah.
So it's a tough job. You know, lots of stuff's happening. You make mistakes. Yes, some plays you get reviewed and you can go and, you know, go to the TV monitor and, you know, either correct the mistake or whatnot. But sometimes it's a judgment call and that was their judgment. And it's easy for us sitting at home and rewinding and stopping and freezing, but live, you know, stuff happens and we all make mistakes. Nicholas is going to learn this when he finishes his programming and he becomes, like, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes out there in the workforce. And you may, or, you know, you might, you know, Santiago, you know, we've had, you know, our wrist slapped for something we've said, did, wrote, didn't act properly. You're going to make a mistake, tweet, whatever, you know, you're young, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to learn by it. And referees are just, you got to remember, they're human and they're doing the best. They're, yes, you know, they're at an elite level. They're doing what they can.
Yeah. Comment from Crow Resin from YouTube. NCAA needs to do a better job with their seeding. With 2 years in a row with a 15 seed doing well. Your thoughts on that, Nick?
Resin's my boy.
I'm not necessarily sure about that in particular. Like, I think, like, it definitely helps when you have, like, really good players just having fantastic tournaments. Like, the Oral Roberts team last year we saw with Max Aspitz and Kevin O'Banner, like, both those players really stood out. And both of those teams, Oral Roberts last year, St. Peter's this year, neither one of them won their conference regular season championship. So it wasn't like these teams were so impressive in their conference, went to the conference tournament, they got a 15. It's more of a, they found a way to the conference tournament, then they just really turned it on against some really good teams. In a way, I think it could be more of some of these really better teams, you know, just not finding a way to win against these type of teams. Like, I think it's probably more of that.
Jeff, seeding, is that an issue?
Yeah, that's my boy, Crow Resin. Shout out to him. He did text me and tell me he was watching the show. So thank you for the comment. You know, you can make an, I see his point. You can make an argument that if St. Peter's had lost in the first or second round, it would have been a different game against North Carolina because that game wasn't even, was it ever close except at tip-off? Except that tip-off, like in the first 10 seconds, was it close? After that, it really wasn't close. So you could argue, and I think that's what Crow is arguing, is that, yeah, they just, maybe, did they get lucky or did somebody have a bad game? And whereas if, and forgive me, I forget who St. Peter's beat to get to that North Carolina game. Purdue? Yeah, Purdue. They played Purdue. Yeah.
Who I picked to win the whole thing.
Which you predict, you know, so if Purdue had won that game, would the Purdue North Carolina game been better, a better game? And maybe Purdue would be, and you would have had Purdue alumni Drew Brees on the show and not me. So it's right. So Crow makes a good, interesting point that, you know, if they had lost one of those other games, the whole thing, right? That whole side of the bracket gets turned upside down. Because they got up turned upside down, maybe got righted up. So maybe Purdue, maybe would be we talking Duke Purdue.
There you have it. Seeding.
The team Purdue should have stepped up. Purdue didn't step up.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't step up. You know, they didn't call.
But we've seen that in other sports where a 7-9 team barely makes the playoffs and then wins the next game and then gets obliterated in the following game. Well, maybe they shouldn't have been there in the first place. But they did win. The other team didn't step up for whatever reason. And like I always say, that's why we play the games.
Yeah, play the games.
You and guys all think, last year in football, everybody was crowning Tampa Bay back-to-back winners even before. So I'm like, well, then why are we playing the games? You guys have all decided. But luckily, we played the games. And some other team won.
Well, I'm glad in overtime basketball, each team has possession. And so that's a good thing. Anyways, that's the end of our show. We do have a poll question, which I think you guys will enjoy. I don't see why not asking during this special basketball show. What do you use number two pencils the most? Scantron, test, drawing, home improvement, or just writing? We'll go with Nick.
Well, if you would have asked me this in like high school, it would definitely be those Scantrons. Like, I still get scarred by those things, but you know, here everything's so much more electronic. So, I mean, if I just want to like jot down a note or something like that, sure, I'll grab a pencil or a pen, but I hardly ever use Scantrons anymore. I mean, I really don't miss those things, if I'm being honest.
Interesting. I used them in college. They don't use it anymore. Not surprised.
Yeah, everything's all in these electronic learning management systems.
Interesting.
What do you guys use there? Do you guys use Blackboard or do you guys use
Canvas?
Canvas.
Yeah, it's actually a funny story. Is like right before, like they were when I was doing all my visits, like the year before I was slated to come out here, they were in the transition from Blackboard to Canvas. Mm-hmm.
Jeff,
so what, you've been around you guys, for a while. What people don't know is I used to teach at college here in Canada. I know all about when I first started teaching back in 2000, I used to all our multiple choice and things were on the Scantron so I could mark because I was too lazy and I didn't want to read through shit and I didn't want to mark stuff. So and then as soon as we got Blackboard, as soon as I was able to go to electronic marking, it's so great. They just click. My son's in college, they use something else, Sierra. No, say some start with an S. So they use something else, but again, it's very like it's like Canvas, it's like Blackboard, they're all basically the same. But you can, you know, like you know right away, you got your mark right away, and it may or may not, depending on the quiz, tell you you know what you got right, what you got wrong. Nicholas, I don't know how your instructor set up the results, or if you get them right away, or if you gotta wait till it's done.
Instructor is a robot.
Various things. The testing is a robot. The instructor probably is not, although that would be kind of cool.
You never
that
know.
That would be kind of cool. To answer the original question, I don't know the last time I used a pencil.
I know.
For those of you that don't know, and my boy Crow Resin can tell you in the chat, I was on a reality TV show back in the day. So that tells you a lot about when I would use a pencil for construction. I don't know the last time I used, I don't even know if we have a pencil. I don't know if we have pencils in the house.
I was going to ask you, do you own a pencil?
I don't know if I actually have them. There's probably, because we're hoarders, there is probably pencil crayons. Actually, that's not true. Up here, I do have some because I got for my dad and my parents, the little adult coloring, the adult coloring stuff. So I have done those with my parents. For those of you that don't know, my parents have moved into long-term care. So I spend a lot of time with them. And so we do some coloring and we do some puzzles and we do other things just to pass the time. So I do have coloring. I do have coloring pencils for coloring, you know, the adult coloring books, but a number two, and I may have, if you put a gun to my head, Santiago, and I'm looking, this is my office right here. I may actually have a mechanical pencil. That's not your question. Cause that's not a number two.
Well, mechanical pencils could be number two, like it's, because number two is the lead.
It is. So funny story. And Nicholas, you would relate to this. I'm not sure how old you are, but I think you're the same vintage as my son. We were at my parents' house and those of you like Crow and others who've seen me live stream from there. We were going through and we were digging through and my son found a box with some old pencils in it. And I said, this is a real pencil with real lead, not the carbonite, not the stuff that you find in a pencil today. Back in my day, they were actually lead that were in the pencils that we used to use back in the 70s when I was a kid. And we found some. He's like, this is like the stuff they banned because it like kills you. Yes. You want it? So yes, he actually found some old. So Nicholas, if you ask your grandparents, they probably have, or some older people like that, they probably have some old lead, real lead pencils around, not the new stuff that they're using in the carbonite or whatever. I don't know what it is now. Fake lead.
Okay, so I guess you so, can't answer fact, the question.
So I can't answer the question because I don't know if I don't know if I have a pencil, but I will. If I find a pencil, I will tweet it.
Okay.
But I may have a mechanical pencil. My son, see, my son has a pen that erases, and the only time you would use
erasable pens.
He's got an erasable pen that he uses when he has to make notes. He types everything because he's probably the same vintage or thereabouts as Nicholas.
Yeah, and Nick is what, 21, right? 20, 21?
21, yeah.
21 all right, years
so
old,
my,
yeah.
My producer is going to be 21 in June.
Nice.
I have my own in-house NFL producer. So he's 21. My other son is 19. They use mechanical erasable pens.
What is the legal drinking age in Canada?
It is 19.
Okay, young, yeah.
Where I am is 19. There's a couple of places that it's 18, but for the most part, it's 19 here. And so when my son turned 19 2 weeks ago, we went to the VIP movie and he got his beer and we watched that horrible movie Uncharted. Sorry, we watched Uncharted, and he had a beer and. He sat there in the VIP seats and because he was legal. So he could. He went on his actual birthday. And so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So, well.
Yeah. But yeah. So I don't. So yeah. So we. And the only time in elementary school we ever used pencils would have been for math. And I always did them. And I always did them in pen because I never made mistakes. So.
Well, there you have it. Home Improvement is winning by 50%. Scantron test and drawing at 17, writing at 16%.
I'm surprised Santiago even knows about Scantron, Nicholas.
Hey, I used them back in college about 10 years ago. So those were it. But I guess now you use your phones or iPads to take a test. I don't know. All right.
You do. Nick. Everything is moving mobile. Everything is moving mobile. My son's 19. He's in college. He does everything on his phone. You probably do. You probably use a lot of it, right, Nicholas? Your phone for a lot of it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You probably have to do a lot of writing being the major you're in. So you probably do that on the laptop, but
yeah.
There you have it. Well, Nick, what is the best way to reach you online to chat you about the March Madness tournament and also your podcast?
Yeah. So people can follow me on Twitter at Hodel Sports. It's probably some of the best ways to get my reactions to the games as they happen and just in other sports as well. So that's probably the best way for me personally. For the podcast, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at College Bonanza and on TikTok. That's something we've done the last few days. Yes.
No way.
Yeah. So you can follow us there on TikTok as well at College Bonanza. Myself, Dominic Stern, Dom Contini will all be pumping out some content throughout the course of this next week and throughout the off season, because the transfer portal does what it does. It has so many really good players in there as well. Plenty of content over there as well throughout the next 7 months.
Crow Resin says, great show, guys. Love your insights. Jeff, you have a TikTok, but what is the best way to reach you online?
We need Santiago to do this. This is my name. This is my age. This is what I do. We need Santiago to do one of those TikToks, Nicholas. We need to work on him on one of those, you know, those annoying ones.
Hey. If College Bonanza's on him, why not the sportscast, right? So
Exactly. This is how you can reach me. I'm here everywhere. You can. I love the hate. I love the messages I get. I get the DM. My DMs are open, so anybody can message me and tell me all the places I was wrong. I love hearing from fans and people telling me when I'm wrong. I love the trolls. Love the trolls. So it's awesome. So, yeah, hey, it's the best way of reaching me.
Yeah, Jeff, Jack, Nick. Who is the best team of the NFC East? If you do follow NFL, but if you do, who do you think is the best team in the NFC East right now?
Well, I mean, as long as the Cowboys keep doing what they're doing, they're going to be one of those teams that just ends up find a way to be the best in the division. And then somehow when playoff time comes around, I don't know.
Perfect. Well, at least you got one part of that joke.
All right, I'm gonna go follow him now if I can remember what he said. I'm gonna have to rewatch the show so I can.
As of right now, the Cowboys are looking the best. Washington, New York, and Philadelphia are not doing enough to catch up with the Cowboys. But anyways, you can reach us at the Sportscast One on Twitter or thesportscast.net. And tomorrow, Jersey Boys Sports Talk, they'll be talking about Tyreek Hill and how he is a better player than Kelsey for some reason. and Byron Jones has a mock draft being released tonight. You'll talk about it tomorrow. And of course, we'll be continuing NFL free agency, NFL draft in a month from now. Looking forward to
the,
it.
To the day.
College basketball this weekend. USA versus Costa Rica tonight. World Cup qualifying. Anyways, gentlemen, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
We already qualified. Just saying. I got to represent.
First time since 1986. Unbelievable. All right. Well, thanks, Nick, for coming. And
I noticed, I send you things about that, and you never retweet them.
I know. Well,
he just likes them. He doesn't retweet any of my all Canada Pro comments. One mention of this great cup in his daily newsletter. Just saying.
One day. And this was your